Good morning. Welcome once again to Prayer Time. Dr. Chuck Swindoll, in his book, The Grace Awakening, tells this story about President Thomas Jefferson. During his days as president, Thomas Jefferson and a group of companions were traveling across the country on horseback. They came to a river which had left its banks because of a recent downpour. The swollen river had washed the bridge away. Each rider was forced to ford the river on horseback, fighting for his life against the rapid currents. The very real possibility of death threatened each rider, which caused a traveler who was not part of their group to step aside and watch. After several had plunged in and made it to the other side, the stranger asked President Jefferson if he would ferry him across the river. The president agreed without hesitation. The man climbed on, and shortly thereafter, the two of them made it safely to the other side. As the stranger slid off the back of the saddle onto dry ground, one in the group asked him, "Tell me, why did you select the president to ask this favor of?" The man was shocked, admitting he had no idea it was the president who had helped him. "All I know," he said, "is that on some of your faces was written the answer, no, and on some of them was the answer, yes." His was a yes face. Swindoll's point is this: all of us are drawn to those whose faces invite us in and urge us on. We encounter one such yes face in our study this morning from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. Joseph of Cyprus, better known to us as Barnabas, one of my favorite Bible characters. Verses 32 through 35 give us the setting. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. They were one in heart and mind. They cared for each other. They provided for each other. Dr. Charles Ryrie said of the early church, "Money talks," but he meant that in a good way. He meant that they used their money to care for each other, to meet each other's needs, to express their unity. After all, they were a family. He said it this way: money talks, and it did in the early church. The fellowship was strengthened and needs met by the voluntary agreement to hold things in common. Our passage this morning, and indeed the book of Acts, portrays the church as a family that looks out for its own. After all, when you're a part of a family, you pray for each other, you care for each other, you encourage each other, and you provide for each other. They were one in heart and mind, committed to each other, committed to Jesus Christ. That was the character of the early church. They were unified, and their unity showed in that they shared everything. They took care of the needs of each other in the church. Now, please be aware, this is not communism, it's not socialism, for this was entirely voluntary. It was according to need and not equally distributed to all. They still retained property rights. Many in the church retained their property, such as Mary, the mother of John Mark, who retained her home, and the church met in her home to pray for Peter's release after he was arrested in Acts chapter 12. Lastly, this was a temporary arrangement. Why was there such need in the early church? Well, possibly because of the economic situation of Palestine. Famine and political unrest led to instability, limited employment opportunities, and many of these believers, when they became believers in Jesus Christ, were ostracized because of their faith. Well, God granted them boldness, boldness in answer to the prayer of Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31. And with great power, they continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. They cared for the needy of the church. They cared for the church first after the principle of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. In verse 36, we're introduced to one of the individuals who provided for the needs of the others in the church, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas, or Joseph as his name is, was so identified with his character that his character became his nickname. He was the encourager. Barnabas means in Hebrew, son of encouragement. He was an encourager. He encouraged the downhearted, encouraged the rejected, encouraged the discouraged, encouraged the misunderstood, and encouraged the needy. He was the encourager. He was concerned about others and their needs, and not concerned about the attention that it brought to him, but rather he was concerned about the attention that it brought to those in need. He became so identified with his gift, so identified with his character of encouragement, that they actually changed his name to Son of Encouragement. When you saw Barnabas coming your way, you could be sure that you were about to be encouraged. Isn't that a great thing? When you see somebody that you know will encourage you, somebody who will lift you up. Barnabas would become very important to the story of Acts. Later on, he would be the one who introduced Saul to the apostles when the apostles had no intention of meeting Saul in Acts chapter 9, verses 26 to 27. He's the one that came alongside Saul and brought him to the apostles. In Acts chapter 11, verses 22 to 26, he was sent to Antioch by the Jerusalem church. In Acts chapter 13, he accompanied Paul on the first missionary journey. Barnabas would become very important to the story of Acts. He's mentioned at least 25 times in the book of Acts, 5 times in the epistles. One writer said of him that he was the Barnabas of the open heart and the acceptant spirit. Barnabas had the gift of exhortation, of comfort, of encouragement, a wonderful gift which he used so diligently that everyone began to call him by his gift, the Son of Encouragement. Barnabas sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet, not because of the attention it would bring to him, but because of his desire to meet the needs of those around him. How wonderful to have those who you know when you see them coming your way who will be an encouragement to you rather than a downer, who will not be a complainer or a gossiper or overbearing, but one who will be an encouragement to those who are discouraged, who are downhearted, who are misunderstood, who are needy. It leads us to ask ourselves a couple of questions. Are we an encouragement to others? Remember, to accept others is not to necessarily agree with them, but are we an encouragement to the others? Do we come alongside the rejected? Do we come alongside the discouraged, the downhearted, the misunderstood, the needy? Second question that this leads us to is, how are we using our money, our talents, our resources, and our gifts to build unity in the body? What a great thing to be an encourager to others. May we be an encouragement to those who are needy. May we use our money, talents, resources, and gifts to build up the body of Christ, to contribute to the unity of the body of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Barnabases of our world, those who care for the needs of others emotionally and even materially. May we be those who are encouragers. May we be those who are moved to use those resources which you have given us for your glory and to meet the needs of others. In Jesus' name, amen.